3. So Jesus says here, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division.
From now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three.
Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. So, Lord, we know these are the conditions we live in this world, and we just again pray that you would speak to us what you have for each of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this is just a parallel passage we read to where we are in our text today, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 is where Jesus takes the 12 disciples and calls them apostles. And an apostle is someone who is sent out, was sent out to carry a message. And they were also apostles in the sense that they held the office of apostle, which was a historical one-time thing, the foundation of the church, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, and the foundation on the apostles and prophets. But all of us, in a certain way, are apostles in the sense that wherever you're sent to minister, whether it's here in the U.S., like as a younger person, I got the privilege to go on several short-term missions to Mexico, Guatemala, Cuba, Ireland, and I also got to visit a friend in Australia and another military friend in Germany. So that was all a blessing, and I wanted to be a missionary, and then God kind of directed me to become a counselor, and then And then I married someone who was an exhorter, and she said, you should be a pastor. And so it turned out, and I'm from Southern California, so turned out I was called to be a missionary in Iowa. And, you know, it's a great place to be a missionary and a resident. That come June 25th, it'll be 20 years we've been in Iowa. So our friend Mary Patterson, she was from Southern California. God called her. This is true. God called her to Mongolia. She had to get out a map and say, where's Mongolia? And she was there for 13 years to work with orphans, and she adopted three of them. You know them. Some of you do. But there was around that 13 years, God spoke to her heart, I want you to go to Iowa. And she said she had to get out a map and say, where's Iowa? But it's a wonderful place. I love the traffic, the lack of traffic here. That being said, so he sends them out, and if you can read the chapter, just basically talks about the cost that it is to follow him and to serve him. And he talks about how the Holy Spirit will speak through them. And again, we want to remember, when we read these verses and these passages about discipleship that are very hard and very much go against my flesh, we need to remember it's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus doing it through us. You know, Jesus gave his life for us, that he may give his life to us, that he may live his life through us. And that's the gospel. That's the whole deal. So with that said, last week he talked about Jesus. He mentions about if we confess the Lord, he'll confess us before the Father. And if we deny him, he'll deny us before the Father. And we went into all that. And from there, we pick up here in verse 34. And he says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And we'll just pause right there. Like we just read in Luke, he said he did not come to bring peace, but division. So I am looking for, is there an outline on my seat over there, dear? Because I cannot find, oh, here it is. That's just me being me. Yeah, my nose is still there. Okay, making sure. Okay. I'm thankful who got up when I said dear. See, I didn't have to specify. Okay, so number one on your worksheet, Jesus did come to bring peace on earth, ultimately, right? The word there is ultimately, which means in the end, right? He's come to bring peace. When he comes for the church, we'll be with him forever. We'll be eternal peace. The earth will, you know, we'll have hell on earth for 7 years. Then he'll come to reign on earth for 1,000 years, and there'll be peace on earth. He'll rule with an iron rod. There will be people that will die. The devil isn't done away with yet. But at the end of that 1,000 years, then when the devil is finally cast in the lake of fire and the white throne judgment and all that, you see that in Revelation 21. There's a new heaven and a new earth. Then there will be truly peace on earth. Amen. And I think of that Christmas song, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, and talking about peace on earth and goodwill to men. And then go through the song, and he says, you know, but then in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, you know, for there's so much wrong on the earth. But then the later verse says that the wrong will fail and the right will prevail with peace on earth and goodwill toward men. I have on your worksheet there Luke 2:14 that talks about in the New King James, which is what I usually use, you know, peace, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. But really a better translation is, and if you have like an NIV, they got it right there, the peace to the on earth to those who on whom God's favor rests. And that's peace to those of us that are believing in him. But it's a different kind of peace. And that's what it's, that's number two on your sheet, which I noticed my blunder this time. I didn't have numbers there. The second one on your sheet, until then, he, Jesus, offers a different kind of peace. And in our text here, verses 35 and 36, he says, "For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household," as we just heard during communion time, or our brother shared. He's got two brothers that are older that don't believe in the Lord, and they just think that Cliff and his family are whack jobs, which is how the world, that's how the world sees us. And it makes sense because the world doesn't have the Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 2 says that the natural person doesn't have the Spirit and they can't discern spiritual things. So that's what's so amazing about the gospel and about the Bible and about the truth of our faith. It's because there are very intelligent people and very common people that are going to go to hell. And there are very intelligent people and very common people that are going to go to heaven, because it's a thing of it's not a thing of your intellect. It's a thing of the Spirit. Paul spells that out in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, right? And yeah. So, and the other thing I like to remind myself is it's not that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell, because we're all bad. It's prideful, humble people go to heaven and prideful people go to hell. And we all struggle with pride, but that pride in the sense of thinking you don't need a savior, you know, and we all need a savior. And so, I'm just thankful that the Lord opened my eyes, and I'm sure you are too. And that's why we continue to pray for those whose eyes are not yet open. But a different kind of peace. So what kind of peace do we have? And that's, I have there John 14 and John 16, just a couple of verses that I want to read. This is the peace, you know, John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. You know, Jesus is preparing. It's the night before he's going to go to the cross. And he's preparing his guys, and he said, "I'm gonna be leaving you." And they're like, "They're really bummed out." Peter is told, "You're gonna betray me." He's really bummed out, you know. But Jesus says, "But I'm gonna send you another helper, and that will be the Holy Spirit." Isn't that wonderful? So just listen to these verses. This is our portion down here, because we suffer down here. Anyone here suffer at all? Anyone have any suffering going on? Yeah. So John 14. Verse 27 simply says, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid." Right? That's how he starts chapter 14 of the book of John. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Again, they're hearing all this bad news. One of you will betray me, and all of you are going to take off from me, and I'm leaving. And so they're very bummed out. But then, and then in the book of John, there, it's a reference there on your number two there, verse 33, John 16, "These things," Jesus says, "I've spoken to you, that in me," that's the key, "in me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So that's something we're all growing, and I'm still growing in that. We all go through various trials and various times in our life. And again, you look at the world, we're on the verge of world war, but all these wars going on and death and terrorism and just brutality. And it's more than anyone can take on, but only Jesus can provide a peace, because we're looking forward again to what we're looking forward to, heaven. So back to our text. So he will bring peace ultimately. He gives us the peace in our hearts when we go through trials. Verse 37, he goes on to say, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So the third item on your worksheet there, we love others best when we love Jesus first. Amen. And we put him first, and that's his commandment, right? To love the first commandment, the primary commandment, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's what Jesus says, you know, if you love anyone more than me, you're not worthy of me. And those are hard, those are hard words, but they're good words, because he is the best, right? He's the best one for us. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I don't know that I ever have, but some people experience a situation where they're maybe dating someone and break up with them. And then whether it's months or years later, they realize that was a mistake and they have the benefit of maybe getting back with that person. Some people have even done that in marriages. I've met people that have left their spouse and then later they said they wish they hadn't, you know. And so, but how much more when the love that's offered to us is from the perfect lover, you know, and that's what he has to offer us, this perfect love. So, and the thing is, when I'm loving Jesus first, and I'm loving my wife better, that's obviously the Ephesians 5:25 on your worksheet, as husbands love your wives just as Christ loved the church. But he loves us first, right? Grace bestowed is grace that's given, and same with love. We have no love in and of ourselves, but he is love and he lives in us. And as I just draw closer to him, like you've heard this in marriages too, you're here and you're here, but you draw close to the Lord, you'll be drawn to each other. There'll still be difficulties in this and that, but the love grows. The love grows as I draw closer to Jesus. And that's all he's saying there, that it's we're missing out when we put the love of someone humanly before Jesus. And how that plays out practically is, you know, if you go home today and your wife says to you, "Hey, I've got this, we're a little low on money, I got this bag of cocaine, will you just go deliver it across the street and they'll give you the money?" I mean, that's an extreme example, but that's, you know, wives, obey your husbands in the Lord. So that would not be in the Lord. So you don't have to deliver that bag of cocaine, you know. And of course, that's a ridiculous, hopefully, ridiculous example. But you know, we can tend to idolize other people, and God knows that about us. We're all a work in progress. Amen. So the next one here, the only way to abundant life is through death, right? The only way to abundant life is through death. This is verses 38 and 39. "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." So it starts with the cross, right? Jesus died on the cross for us.
That reminds me of right now, it's like really popular. Find your passion. What's your thing?
Yeah.
He who finds his life will lose it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it's always there throughout the generations. It's just relabeled. I guess it gets worse. Someone, our pastor put out, there was like People magazine, then there was Us, and then there was like Me, and like it just kept, it's so, and it is, so yeah, it is getting worse and worse. And so, yeah, everything is less hidden, isn't it? And we see that in our culture. So a cross is something that someone would die on. You know, we have, it is a glorious thing, and we wear crosses around our neck, but it'd be back in those days, if we just had a necklace that had a guillotine, like a little model guillotine or gas chamber or something like that. It was, as you know, it was a form of execution. And so when I say yes to Jesus, and by the way, I'll give you a spoiler because we're going to get to that. The good news is you've already died. You know, when we came to Jesus, we died. We died with him. We're already dead. I've heard it put that a Christian is just a dead man on furlough, because truly, literally, we died with Jesus on the cross, and he's now animated us with his Holy Spirit. And yes, our body is physically working, but we were spiritually dead, and now we've died to the old self, and we're alive in him. But that being said, that's the first thing. He says, if anyone would want to come after me, let him or her take up their cross daily, deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. So I'm saying to Jesus that I'm willing to die for you. Now, in my flesh, in my human nature, can I do that? Or when push comes to shove, will I do that? I don't know. I mean, I don't know how that's going to play out. I hope I'm not like Peter and have to get a do-over, but at least he got a do-over, didn't he? And we talked about that last week. When he was filled with the Spirit, totally different person. So we trust that Jesus will give us the strength and the courage to literally be martyred for him if that's what we're called to. But there's also just the dying to our own will, our self-will, and find your own path and all that. And that's okay to say that humanly speaking, but not literally, right? Because we want to follow him and trust him and let us lead us. And we do use our minds. The scripture says don't lean on your own understanding. It doesn't mean don't use your head. Of course, he wants us to use all of what he's given us, but also to just lean on him and to know the dying to self, back to the cross. I'm a marriage counselor. Or that's my license, as I see different clients of different with different issues. But in a training we had, Christian counselors had this little comic strip. And it showed the couple on the couch, and I think it was a wife, but it doesn't matter. One of the spouses they were both kind of sitting on the couch, and one of them says, well, I've never really, I don't know that I've really died to myself, but I have felt faint a couple times, you know? And so that's kind of like how we treat things sometimes, you know? And sometimes God has to allow trials in our life for maybe everything to be taken. As Corrie ten Boom said, who was in concentration camps, you'll never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have, right? And I might as well just put a mirror up, and since it's rare that people like this front row unless they're forced to sit here, might as well just put a mirror here, because I'm just preaching to myself, frankly. Those of you that know me, this is not really a pulpit to preach from. It's just a confessional, really. But we're all the same, right? But we all love Jesus. We've all tasted and seen that he is good. And so as we trust him, he's going to get us where we need to go. But I'm thankful for these hard words, because they reset me, right? What this is all about. It's not about us, me, however that was, you know, or what is it? Find your own path and all that. Yeah, all that stuff. So that's those verses. We're almost there. We're at verse 40. And the last thing on your sheet there is the Lord will reward, and he is incredibly generous. The Lord's incredibly generous, verses 40 through 42. So now he says to the disciples, remember, he's sending them out to go to towns, house to house, and those that would receive him, stay there, and those that don't, shake the dust off your feet and go find someone that will accept your message and receive you. In that context, here we are in verse 40. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Jesus himself was an apostle. Hebrews 3:1. It talks about Jesus, the apostle and great high priest. Why? Because the Father sent him with a message, he was the means to our salvation. So he who receives you, Jesus says, receives me. Verse 41, he who receives me receives him who sent me. And then verse 41, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. The little ones he's talking about here is his disciples. And so, and again, we're all his disciples, and we're all called to share the gospel. And we do it, as any chance we can, we want to share the gospel with people. And like I said, I wanted to be a missionary, and God did not allow that to happen per se. And he led me to be a counselor. And by the way, yes, I guess you could say I'm a missionary to Iowa. Next month will be 20 years. So I don't know when I'm considered an Iowan, but I don't. And I mean that no diss on Iowa. I'm not a very good farmer or a very good builder or anything like that. I can. That's a good term, a Californian. I love it. But also, God has shown me, and most of the week I serve as a counselor, and that's my paying job, but that's such a mission field too. It's been such a wonderful mission field. And also a chance to minister to the body of Christ as well. So I'm so thankful for that. So that being said, like these 12, that applies to all of us, or the 11, not Judas, but we're all apostles in a sense that we've been sent somewhere. And if you want to go somewhere else, God might be calling you to stay where you are, but that's where you minister. That's where you share. That's where you share with your mouth, and you share with your gifts, and you share with your, what is it, time, talent, and treasure, right? Unto the Lord, for his sake, for the gospel's sake. It's getting very late. Romans 13, Paul says it's high time. The time is getting shorter and shorter, and it's high time that we awake out of sleep, because our salvation, talking about our glorification, is nearer than when we first believed. The Lord's coming back. We don't know when, but we know that the signs are, you know, he says in Luke, when we get to the book of Luke and the Olivet Discourse, hey, he talks about when you see all these signs, well, even when we get to it here in Matthew eventually, these are all signs of the tribulation. These are signs of the tribulation. So when you see these signs of the tribulation about to happen, he says there in Luke, look up and lift up your head, for your redemption is drawing near. We're so close to the Lord coming back. And people will say, well, what does that matter when it happens? And I get that. Well, they'll say, well, people are going to die, so that's enough reason to share the gospel. And I agree with that, because people, one person in hell is horrific. But when everyone starts going through hell on earth and things, because when that time happens, it's going to move so fast, and it's going to be horrible. And many people will be saved in that time, but many will end up in hell and be living in hell on earth. Anyway, that being said, the Lord is very generous. Back to our worksheet. He's incredibly generous, because he says even a cup of water will not go without notice. And that's how he is. I had put Luke 19:17 on there. That's from the parable of the minas, where the man is going to go out, nobleman, and he's going to go inherit a kingdom. And he says to 10 of his servants, he gives 10 of his servants each a mina. And one commentator said that's worth maybe 3 months' wages. But it is a monetary value, because it talks about they go and do business with it. So when he comes back to inherit his kingdom, he talks to those servants. And the first one says, hey, your mina, it reproduced, and now I've got 10 minas. So 10 times the amount. And so the verse that you have there on your sheet is where the master says to him, wow, you've been faithful with very little. You get 10 cities. So think about how generous God is. This guy has 3 months' wages. So times 10, whatever that is, 30 months' wages. So a little over a year, whatever you make in a year. Okay, Lord, I made you this many thousands of dollars, so maybe I'll get a nice mansion. And he says, no, you're going to be in charge of 10 cities. That's very generous, very generous. And even just our passage, even a cup of water. In other words, God is keeping score. Did I ever give you that? The Lord will reward, and he is incredibly generous. He's keeping score. Revelation 22:12, Jesus says, behold, I am coming quickly. Literally, I'm coming suddenly. Don't let the scoffers say, like in 2 Peter, oh, it's been this long. And, you know, that word means suddenly. I'm coming suddenly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone what he has earned, or what I'm going to reward him. And so, and then finally, we were just talking last night, my wife and I, about how does that relate to us as far as God's grace? I was thinking of the story of David when he was in Ziklag. If you know David's story before he was king, you can find this in 1 Samuel chapter 30. I recommend you read that. It's really incredible. David had already been anointed king, but Saul was jealous of him. And so Saul's trying to kill him. He's running for his life, hiding in caves from Saul. And finally, at the beginning of verse 30, he just says, he's not going to quit. I'm just going to go down in the land of the Philistines and he'll stop chasing after me. So he does that. And the king of the Philistines trusts David. And so he gives him this land called Ziklag, where he and his men, his 600 mighty men, fighting men, and their families can stay. And so, but then they go out and do this raiding. And that's just, there's more to the story. You got to read all that. But actually, I correct myself. Verse chapter 30 is where they come back from raiding to Ziklag, and it's all torched, David and his men. And everyone's gone. All the women and children are gone. And his men, he's crying. He's upset. His men are upset. And they're so upset that they're going to stone David. Beautiful verse there in 1 Samuel 30 says that then David, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He experienced that peace that we're talking about. Well, however he did, he praised the Lord. He got alone with him. Psalm 103 is him talking about, don't forget any of his benefits. And again, these eternal benefits that we have. And he strengthened himself. Then he called for the ephod, had the priest, and he inquired of the Lord, said, shall we go after these people? And the Lord says, yes, go after them, and you'll get all the spoil back. And they did, and they got all the wives and all the children. Nobody died. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't God such a keeping God? You know, and they got, and but on the way, when they had to catch up with these people, there's more in the chapter there. There were 600 of them, and they had to cross this brook. Well, 200 of them were wiped. They were too tired. So they were told just to stay back at the brook and to keep watch of the equipment. And then they went and got the victory, and then the other guy, they all came back. And they greeted these guys. And then it says there that the worthless men, some of those other 400 that were the macho guys that could cross the brick and fought or the brook and fought and got all the family back, they said, these other guys should not enjoy the spoil because they didn't go out with us. And then David just says a beautiful thing there. And he says that, God gave us this victory. And so we should share and share alike. It literally says that in the NLT. That's where that saying probably came from. And so those that stayed back with the goods were able to reap the same reward as those who fought. So again, if you wanted to be a missionary to Africa and you never got the chance, you can pray, you can send money, we live in a town that has a university with international students. You could share your home with someone that's from Africa or whatever. And we all know that. And so, but whatever we do, let's just do it as unto the Lord. And he is very generous and he will reward us. So next week, we'll pick up in chapter 11, where that first verse there talks about how he finished these sayings. And then he himself went out into the towns to minister to the people, to tell them about the kingdom. And let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love for us. And thank you for your economy, Lord. And Lord, by faith, we thank you for trials and persecutions and for people in our own family that hate us right now and betray us, because we still believe you, Lord, for their salvation. I believe you, Lord, for Nicholas Thompson's brothers to be saved and their wives. And I thank you for that. And for all here among us who have relatives or close to them that mock them or maybe even have betrayed them, we pray for those people to be saved, Lord. And we pray according to your will that there would even be that redemption that we could see here in the land of the living, that peace and that love and that redemption and reconciliation, Lord. But most of all, we pray that people would be reconciled to you. And we thank you, Lord, for the cross and for the Holy Spirit, for your gospel, in Jesus' name. Amen.